and defender of the Crystal Castle. This is Spirit, my beloved steed. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me the day I held aloft my sword and said, "For the honor of Grayskull!" A few others share this secret. Among them are Light Hope, Madam Raz, and Cowl. Together, we and my friends of the Great Rebellion strive to free Etheria from the evil forces of Horda!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 54th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise is, of course, TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing, sir?
Still a new year, still trying to get used to all this new stuff.
Getting used to writing 2016 on things?
Yeah.
Well, none of that matters, sir. The only thing that matters is, are you ready for more Myths of Etheria?
I think so.
We've been on some good episodes lately. We've been on a high note. We'll have to see if it continues or if it goes even better or if it takes a fall. So we're going to have to wait and see. In this episode of Myths of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 22, The Crystal Castle, episode 23, The Crown of Knowledge, and episode 24, The Mines of Mondor in Third Earth. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Tell us a story, madam, please. Oh, please, a story about She-Ra.
Let me see. She-Ra made Brightmoon safe from the Horde.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
Oh, it is. It all started a little while after the Rebellion's first victory over the Horde. Adora and I got a message that Castle Brightmoon was under attack, and we flew there to see how we could help Queen Angela.
The gate open quickly. I must maintain the castle's defense.
Madam, the gate's not open.
It will be, I hope.
Open the gate! Hurry! Look out!
First up today is episode 22, The Crystal Castle, which was wasn't there a computer game back in the day called Crystal Castle? I believe there was, and I loved it. It was on the DOS or something like that.
There was Bugs Bunny and Crazy Castle.
No, it wasn't on DOS. It was on it was on Commodore 64. Crystal Castle. I swear that's an awesome game. I maybe get it wrong, though. But anyways, this Crystal Castle aired Monday, October 7th, 1985. It's how we started our week. It was written by Larry DiTilio, who I think a few people may be familiar with. Plot synopsis goes a little bit like this. Shadow Weaver is attacking Castle Brightmoon. Queen Angela will lose the castle's power in a few days when an eclipse occurs. Shadow Weaver knows this, so she is attacking Castle Brightmoon to try and weaken Queen Angela. The Queen tells Adora that the only way Brightmoon can be saved is if they find the Crystal Castle. Adora has two problems on her hands. One, only one person has seen that castle, the King of the Trolls. And number two, trolls hate humans. So for the Horde members, we got Shadow Weaver and her servant. We have for members of the Rebellion: She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Madame Raz, the Queen, Cowl, Spirit, Broom, and the Light Hope. And then we have the Trolls, the Troll King, and some kids that are getting a story told to them at the beginning. So,
and end.
Yeah, and at the end. So what is your thoughts about the introduction, maybe a couple episodes too late, of the Crystal Castle?
You think? First of all, do we really have to start to keep listing Bo and the Rebellion members? He doesn't do shit.
Yeah, we still got to remember him.
God. Yeah, so remember a few podcasts ago when I said, whatever the hell happened to Castle Bright Moon and Angela? Well, here we go.
And, of course, when we talked about the stone and the sword, that would make a little bit more sense now with this episode if it had come before it. So, obviously, we're watching these not in the order they were intended, because this is where we get introduced to Light Hope and the Crystal Castle, and that is why she goes back to it in the stone and the sword.
Stone and the sword, right. See, that's the thing. It's like, if we had watched this 4 episodes so far out of 93, we should have watched the other way around, because you had the thing with Sorrowful, the 2 episodes right with him, and now you've got the thing with the Crystal Castle. I love this episode. I have nothing... There's a couple of nitpicks there's one nitpick. But other than that, I mean... There's nothing wrong with this. I love the plot. I love how they introduce it. And I love how they pretty much give you the location.
Yeah. I got a couple things that I don't like about it. But
yeah. I mean, I'm saying overall, it's a very enjoyable episode. It's an enjoyable, like, the story of the plot does not make me cringe or anything like that. And even though it's the plot device of someone telling a story, even if it's Madame Raz or who, it doesn't matter. The whole device of having someone tell you a story and then it flashes back to... Like, I don't mind that here, because I almost kind of expect it with Etheria, because there should be a lot of storytellers on that planet. So I forget when the last time we had something like this was. It was probably a few podcasts ago that they did this same type of bookend kind of story thing. Yeah. But I don't mind that they did it, because I think it adds to the overall story.
What do you think about the introduction to a new race or species, I guess, on Etheria with the troll people?
It's all right. I mean, it's the same as the Burbils or... who else?
You can do it. Your brain still works.
yeah, right. Same thing with the Burbils from Thundercats, or some race from Voltron that wasn't on Planet Doom that might have been on Planet Air. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's fine. They're troll. It's the same thing, you know, when we got introduced to the bird people on He-Man with Stratos and all that. It's fine. There's no, like, I mean, if there was, like, a special character or something that they, you know, kind of like, you know, like Stratos was part of the Masters, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if there was some sort, I would be more excited about it, but okay, sure.
Yeah, that would have been, I would have liked if they would have kind of highlighted one character in particular a little bit, which is something that She-Ra has not really been able to do much outside of the Seahawks so far. They haven't highlighted any character from any other race or species in the way that He-Man was able to do. I wish they could do that a little bit more, because otherwise it just kind of leaves them as just this generic whatever. It's just some troll people, and who cares about them? So, I don't know. I'd like some more highlighted characters.
Yeah, but we still need a lot more origins for all the different. I mean, you know, we need origins for Catra, Scorpia, Leech, Mantana.
Hey, we're getting the origin of the Crystal Castle, so, and Light Hope. Oh, no, so
I know.
I won't complain too much.
I know, but I'm just saying, before we get to them flushing out and defining newer characters, we still need the explanations behind the current main characters.
Yeah, we might not ever get them.
Maybe not.
All right, well, let's make our first trip to the Whispering Woods to see just how many good things there are about the Crystal Castle.
Bright Moon's magic will be gone. What can we do, Queen Angela?
There is one hope. We must find the Crystal Castle.
What's the Crystal Castle?
According to the old tales, it's the most magical place on Etheria, It holds all the secrets from the days of the first ones, the founders of our world.
But Mother, that's only a story. It's not true.
Some think so, but I believe it exists, though I know of no one who's ever seen it.
I do. Argo has seen it. At least that's what I heard.
Argo? Oh, dearie my.
Who's Argo?
He is king of the trolls of Spycart.
Trolls? Oh, but they hate everyone, especially humans. They'd never help us.
We don't really know that until we speak to them. And if Argo is the only one who's seen the castle, I'll have to find him.
Oh, dearie my, you can't do that. It's much too dangerous.
Don't worry, madam. She-Ra will take me to the trolls. I should be safe enough with her, don't you think?
All right, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods talking about Crystal Castle. What did you like about this episode?
Broom has the best lines. I love Broom. He's so awesome.
That's a pretty cool character. Anything in particular from this episode?
It's just the relationship between him and Madame Raz, and how they're how he's always insulting her, and how she's always snapping back at him, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I do love the interaction between Adora and Spirit about going after the trolls. Spirit's like, but don't they eat horses? Just absolutely love that. This is going to come back to bite me in the ass. So far, no bow in this episode, thank God. I do enjoy the setup of locating the castle, where she has to go meet this troll king, and even he won't tell her where it exactly is, but he gives her enough clues for her to figure it out. And for the sheer fact of where it is, I mean, everybody should have figured this out by now. Even I never really knew, because I don't remember half of this series, but even like with the... everybody remembers the damn transformation. It transforms from Grayskull to Crystal Castle. So, and I'm thinking, okay, is this thing somewhere in the sky? Is it somewhere, you know, is it underground in some alternate dimension? What the hell is this thing? Because essentially the Crystal Castle is almost the same shape as her little headdress she wears.
Mm-hmm.
Her little headband thing there. So finding out where it actually is, and well, first of all, in fact, the name of the mountain is Skydancer. That's kind of awesome. I love that. The last thing I had was I do really dig the light animation effects that Light Hope uses to transport her.
Yeah,
I thought the glowy light thing that he, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I also like that they mentioned the first ones again. So it's not just something that was just a one-off in one episode. They talk about the first ones being, you know, the originators of, you know, the original people of Etheria. So they talk about them a little bit. I like that Adora winks to Madame Raz when, you know, basically about, oh, I'll have to go find She-Ra, or
yeah,
I'll be okay with She-Ra with me. That's kind of a cool little nod. Yay, a riddle. We always love when there's riddles. For those of you that have missed Triclops, you know, and haven't seen him since He-Man, don't worry. This episode gave you a Triclips. Ha, 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 ha. Three eclipse moons, the Triclips.
Yeah, that's a horrible, yes, horrible pun.
I like that there was some backstory for Etheria in this one with, you know, the Crystal Castle and et cetera, et cetera. So I think it adds a little bit more of a deeper element to the planet in itself. I mean, I'd like to get more depth and backstory for actual characters, but if we have to get backstory for the planet, whatever. We even learn that Angela gets her power from the moons, I guess. Yep. So I think one of my favorite moment though was actually when I think it was Light Hope calls She-Ra She-Ra.
Yeah.
And he emphasizes the Ra, which is obviously the main god in the like Egyptian world. And I think that's a cool thing with her name, like She-Ra, like woman god type thing. I don't know. I like the way he said it. But those are the main things I liked. What about if we make our way to the Fright Zone? You said you had one nitpick. What is it?
I mentioned before it's going to come back to bite me in the ass. Well, damn it, almost a whole episode without Bo. By my grandfather's beard. Oh my God, please kill that character.
He's not that bad.
Oh. God,
he's bad. He's not my favorite, but he's not like...
He's almost worse than Teela.
Yeah.
Almost.
Another instance in this episode where they do a flashback. And I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it up every single time. It makes no sense in this series to do flashbacks. There's not enough time to flashback to. Adora was a part of the fucking Horde. If you're flashing back, it's to her as a bad person, not her adventures as a good rebellion member. It just happened a little bit ago. Yeah. Stop flashing back to apparently the 1 week that we didn't see in between when she was in the Horde and when she's in the Rebellion. So I just wish they could find a different way to do this than flashbacks, because in this series, they backed themselves into a corner and made it so flashbacks aren't really feasible. That's my problem. Unless they were like, you know, unless at the beginning it was like 2 years later or 5 years later after Adora left the Horde, but it didn't do that. It made it seem like it was immediate, because Hordak was like, we need to get her back and all this other stuff. It made it seem like it was like almost the very next day, next week, next month or something. Mm. Obviously, we watched these in the wrong order, so I guess that's a little nitpick. And the clock at the end, that's kind of a pretty easy plot device that DiTilio threw in there. I mean,
well, they needed something fast to use.
I wish it would have been something better. Like, they, like, it would have given them some type of more clever way than just a word.
When did you say this aired?
October 1985. October 7th, 1985.
Yeah, so we are three.
Wait for the reference, folks.
Shut the hell up. We are about 3 or 4 months removed from the release of Back to the Future.
Yeah, it just, the clock didn't work.
It was
lazy.
It was kind of funny, though, because...
I wish they would have done anything else, then. We're just going to speed the clocks up so the moons hurry.
Well, okay, yeah, but I mean, the whole motion of her, the way she did it, was kind of funny. I mean, come on. She's swinging around back and forth like Tarzan or something.
I thought it was going too fast. The PSA, the classic, don't judge a book by its cover, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you get that every 5 episodes in any cartoon, so, of the 80s at least.
Well, that... And
I seriously think that was probably the most repeated PSA in the entire decade.
Yeah, I mean, really, the way I took the PSA was, yeah, you're right, that's what it is, but the way I took it was the what he says at the end, if everyone was the same, it'd be a dull world.
Yeah. And I'm like, for sure. I mean, it's a little different. God, but just... I think that was like the number one message that parental groups wanted to hammer home to kids in the 80s was, don't judge a book by its cover. It seems like that was so beaten into us over and over and over again. But
yeah, it still is today with all the political correctness and everything else that's in today's world. So
yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and be back with our first award ceremony of the day.
Back to your halls, Hordesmen. You will not have Castle Bright Moon this night.
Castle Bright Moon is safe, and Angela will see that it is better protected in the future.
We owe you a great debt, Light Hope.
It was your bravery and hope that won the day. But there is something you may do for me.
Name it.
I wish you to treat this castle as your personal haven. Visit it often and speak with me.
It will be my pleasure.
Also, you must keep the location of the castle a secret from all those who do not know your secret. Will you do this?
We'll keep your secret, Light Hope.
And now, join your friends in celebration. We shall see each other again soon. Farewell, She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Farewell, Light Hope.
All right, sir, it's time for your favorite part of the episode, where you get to hit people with horde bats or present them with protection swords. What do you have?
Bo gets a horde bat every episode, and even this episode, just he didn't really do much.
Nothing,
just because he showed up.
All right,
oh God, the episode was going so well until he opened his mouth.
Okay,
ugh.
Is that it?
protection swords. Let's see here.
I'm glad you had
I
this
will.
Out beforehand.
Well, without a script, it's kind of hard to do so.
It's called.
I'll give one to.
Word.
No, I don't think so. It's called pulling your own weight on the show. All right, so I'll give one to Broom because, as I said, he has the most awesome lines. I will give one to She-Ra, and I'll give one to the castle for showing up finally.
All right. That's a lot of protection swords again.
Oh, shut up.
I will just give one out, and that is to Swiftwind, because he was kicking ass in this episode. He was doing more than he normally does. They gave him a lot of action, and he was kicking people literally. So I'll give one to Swiftwind. What about your... It's ironic that we're giving out Crystal Castles for this episode, but how many Crystal Castles would you give to the Crystal Castle?
4.5.
4.5?
Take a half a point off for Bo showing up.
That's so lame. You're just going to give him a horde bat because he showed up, take points off the ratings because he showed up. He's going to show up in every episode, so you've just eliminated your ability to give anything a 5.
No, not really.
I'll give this one a 4. 4 out of 5 for me. It could have been a little bit better. It was a real good episode still. I have a problem with the whole flashback thing, so it's only going to get a 4 for me. But still a good way to start the episode, a 4 and a 4.5, so we'll have to see where it goes from here.
Tell us a story, please, Bo.
Well, I'd be happy to.
I hope Bo makes it a short story.
Long ago, Etheria was ruled by a great king whose name was Jared. As a young prince, he walked our planet and listened to the secrets of the Whispering Woods. He learned wisdom and magic.
Like Bo has found his best audience.
Shh. I want to hear the story.
I want to hear it, too. Let's see. I think I'll become a water pump.
The good prince taught the singing river how to sing and was the first to hear the growling sea roar during a storm. He was Etheria's first marksman with a bow.
Well, why don't you show us what a marksman does?
Show us, Bo.
All right. Hang on, Spirit. Lunch coming up.
Did he say lunch?
That's what he said.
Money for the apple.
Next up today is episode 23, The Crown of Knowledge, written on, or aired on, Tuesday, October 8th, 1985, written by Chris Webber, the basketball player. Plot synopsis, young...
No, that's not true.
No, it is Chris Webber. It is Chris Webber, but not that Chris Webber.
Yeah, I don't
Nobody was
going
to think that was true, you big... All right. Young Marcus dreams of having power as mighty as Etheria's founder, King Jared. So on hearing Bo's story about the Crown of Knowledge, he kidnaps Cal and goes in search of it and all its wisdom. What he doesn't know is that he is being controlled by Hordak and Shadow Weaver, who want the crown's power for themselves. So we have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, and Imp. We have She-Ra, Bo, Cowl, and Swiftwind. And then we have the Baker, the boy, the other boy, Marcus, and the spirit of the Crown of Knowledge. So we have another storytelling episode, and we have an episode focused on the boys. One boy in particular, so you usually hate these episodes. What do you think?
I swear to God, it's Cousin Jeremy all over again, except with a different name. Same voice, same hair, style, color, thing, whatever. Oh, my God.
So you don't like the setup of this kid trying to find his power?
No, that's fine. That is fine. Just the fact that it's essentially a, you know, Cousin Jeremy ripoff from He-Man, it's like, oh God, just no. First of all, why does the kid need, like, I get it. As kids, we all wanted to be something great and powerful and whatever else, but like, the way this kid's going about it, first of all, he kidnaps Cowl. Come on. I mean, first of all, who the hell would want to kidnap Cowl in the first place? That owl has a mouth on him worse than Merlin's Archimedes, for crap's sake. Second of all, he's jumping into something so damn blindly that, this episode.
I think the part that I don't like about it is, about the premise, is if we're going to do an episode based on somebody who yearns to be more important or yearns for more power, why not do it the way He-Man did it and make the episode focus on Orko or somebody like that, especially in a series where you have multiple characters that you could choose from. You could do it with Cowl, you could do it with Broom, you could do it with the one of the Twiggets.
Thank you.
You could do it with one of them. I mean, there's a lot of characters we're already familiar with that you could do that with, and it wouldn't have to be this annoying piece of shit kid. So that's my main issue with it. But
see, I don't think it would work with having either Broom or Cowl or one of the main Rebellion members doing
it. Why not? Because you say, hey, I want the power, and they don't have to kidnap anybody, but Cowl could have just been like, it could have, you just eliminate the kid and just have it be Cowl. He's the one that knows where it is. He could have been hearing the story from Bo and listening to the kids be like, oh, that'd be great to have that power. And it could have been like, oh, wait a second. I think I know where that's at. I studied it. Let me go get it. And I want to be the powerful one or something. Or I want to at least be able to find it and be smart.
Well, because Cowl already is smart. Cowl is...
Right, but maybe he wanted to be the smartest.
Cowl isn't Orko. Cowl doesn't have magical powers. Cowl's just a normal, everyday owl. Cowl is more of a sidekick that actually is almost better than the hero, especially in Bo's case.
I just think the kids were not necessary.
Like, yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, if this was Bo doing it, and, you know, if it was a Bo and Cowl thing where Bo was looking for the power, I could, you know, see, and because Bo runs into shit blindly all the time and the, you know, whatever, but I don't know if it would have worked with just Cowl or even Broom doesn't want power. Broom's got Madame Raz. He doesn't need no power.
I could see it with Cowl, though. I would have just had Cowl to go off on his own and do his own thing. Then we could have got more character depth with Cowl, too. I would have liked it more. So let's take a break and see if we're actually going to find anything in Whispering Woods to talk about for this episode.
Exercise for now.
Yay! Yay!
Hey, Cowl, don't She-Ra and I make a great team? Cowl?
What's wrong, Bo?
Cowl's gone. It's not like Cowl to just fly off without telling someone.
Pardon me. Have you seen my son, Marcus? He's a small lad, black hair and a blue tunic.
Yes. I saw him standing near Cowl, soaking up every word of my story.
Marcus is always talking about wanting to be like the hero of a story, a powerful knight or a king.
Like King Jared?
Oh, yeah, especially King Jared. He's my son's hero. Marcus always talks about the crown, says he's going to find it someday, and then I won't have to work anymore.
So Marcus thought the legend of the crown was true?
And Cowl said he knew where it was. So if Marcus wanted to search for the crown, of course.
Cowl!
Cowl said the crown was in Dark Edge.
And Dark Edge means trouble. Horde trouble. We'd better find them. Fast.
All right, we find ourselves back in the Whispering Woods. I don't have much, so let me get them out of the way. My two favorite moments, I guess, was number one, Imp as a Bush.
Yeah, I got that.
That was pretty cool. That was something right out of like Rainbow Bright or something, but yeah, he looked very cool, especially when he tried to get up and walk then. I like
Yeah.
that touch. You know, something out of Smurfs or Rainbow Bright. And then I thought it was a nice touch, kind of in that same scene, that they actually had Spirit walk over to the water trough and drink, because he's actually acting like a horse, which you don't get to see a lot. So I thought that was a cool moment as well. So what about you? Anything you like in this episode?
Imp as a bush and imp as the water can. Like, I really thought Spirit was gonna notice that it was something not quite right about the watering can thing disguise that imp was using.
Right.
And I was really hoping that Spirit would just bite him and just throw him away. How can you not love the interaction between Shadow Weaver and Hordak? They're
Oh, that's
like an
pretty
old
good.
married couple. That was awesome. And this is just a little thing I noticed, and maybe I could be wrong. I might have to go back and screen cap it and put it in the post. The crown has He-Man's cross-like symbol on it. The red H kind of cross-looking thing
Okay.
on the center of the crown. Yeah, but that's it for me.
All right. I think we're going to have a few more things to talk about as we make our way to Fright Zone. So you can
Yeah.
go first, sir. What did you dislike about this episode besides?
I already mentioned it. It's cousin fucking
That's
Jeremy. Oh
it?
my God. No, that's not it. But that was my first thing. So Cowell's just gonna go along with this boy's fantasy, or really? I mean, it's admirable that he's staying with the kid to keep him safe, but still.
Yeah. Anything else?
I hated the PSA. Reading books. He-Man did it so much better when it came to the reading book PSA stuff.
Okay. You just don't like Lookie, though, so.
That's true, but that's beside the point. I can still admire a good PSA even if it's coming out of that shithead's mouth.
Shithead. I never understand your hate for that character at all.
He's what I know it's the 80s, but Jesus Christ, he's wearing leg warmers.
It's awesome.
No, it's
It
not.
makes it fit right in for this female-centric cartoon in the 80s.
Oh my God.
All right. First of all, this Marcus kid, he didn't seem like he knew anything about the crown during this whole storytelling. Like, he's listening, he's learning about it, and then they try to play it off like he's studied it and he's always wanted the crown. King Jared's his hero, blah, 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 blah. That seemed weird. Number
Yeah.
two, I don't know who's more annoying, actually. Is it Marcus or is it his dad? Because that baker was almost more annoying than the kid. And I couldn't stand either one of them. And the lesson that we get in all this towards the end, basically, the kid learns to just settle for what his dad does. It's too hard to try to be a hero. I should just be a baker like my dad. What kind of message is that sending? Like, don't ever try to follow your dreams, folks. Just do whatever your parents do and don't try to be a hero. And that just kind of threw me off a little bit. It's kind of off-putting. No, like, go for whatever you want to do. Go reach for your dreams. That's the message we're supposed to be giving our kids. Like, go try to do something different. Go, make your own identity. Don't just, I don't know. I found that off-putting. Maybe I'm alone in that.
No, you're right.
It
That's
just
a
seemed like
little
a
stupid.
backward message to try to send. Like, he's like, I'll just settle for being a baker like my dad. I'm like, I want to punch you both in the face. That's all I got, but.
It sounds like it's something that Mask would do.
All right, on that note, let's take another break and see if there's anybody deserving of any hardware for the Crown of Knowledge.
Not won by your effort.
But I
my free cow! I passed the test!
You have yet to face your greatest fear. For today, Marcus, you must win me on your own.
Have to do it on my own? But I am!
Here, Marcus. Must be magic.
Now that crown will be mine!
Marcus, no! I can't stop myself! The cape's pulling me forward!
I rule Etheria! You are mine!
I am not for you! Hordak, I am a spirit of freedom for Etheria. The Horde rules now, but freedom will prevail. That I promise you.
Never! The Horde will triumph!
The Horde will go the way of all who try to enslave others. Back to your fright zone! Someday, you will meet your defeat, for defeat is what you truly fear.
If I can't have you, then no one will! Shadow
Weaver,
your magic.
All right, another chance to award some. I know you don't have any protection swords left, but another chance to. Let's start with Horde Bats, because you do have a few of those left in your closet. Any that you want to give out for this episode?
What's the father and son, both of them. Right. Just, oh, God, give me a break.
Any protection swords?
No.
Okay. I also don't have any protection swords, but I have a different Horde Bat that I would like to hand out. Oh, no. You already kind of mentioned it. I will.
Oh, no.
I will give a Horde Bat to Cowl. Going along with this kid. After he gets freed. He gets freed. It's his chance to go back and like alert people to what's going on. And he's like, I'll go with you. No, Cowl. Bad Cowl. Horde Bat Cowl. So, all right.
Horde Bat Cowl.
How many crystal castles do you give the Crown of Knowledge?
One.
One for you, and one for me. So, in complete agreement. I was going to give it more, and I just couldn't because of how it ended with that message. And yeah. I just didn't like the kid. I didn't like the dad. I don't think they're necessary. So, boo to all of it. One crystal castle across the board.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take another break before we make our way to the last episode of today, The Mines of Mondor, which is just fun to say.
Your kingdom remains a thorn in my side, King Duplis.
My people pay their taxes to you, Hordak, and I give your troops food and lodging.
You also give food to rebels.
I'm doing the talking, Catra. You do feed the rebels with information about the Horde.
I swear, I have never helped the rebels.
But someone is. Someone who knows all about our plans.
Yeah, and we intend to find out who it is.
I wanted to say that. And we intend to find out who it is.
All right, the final episode up today is episode 24. The Mines of Mondor.
I don't know what the hell actually happened in this episode, because when I was watching it on Hulu right before we recorded, the audio kept going out. The picture kept going out. I tried it on the application on the desktop. I tried it on the actual website, and Hulu was screwing up beyond repair. I did eventually get to see and hear everything, but oh my god, I had to watch this damn thing twice. Because the first time...
Honestly, probably could watch this one five times and you still wouldn't know what the fuck's going on.
I know, right?
So don't feel too bad. This aired Wednesday, October 9th, 1985. It was written by Francis Moss. And Prince Hazar, son of King Duplass of Irlandia, is sent by the Horde to the Mines of Mondor on planet...
Dumbass
Curtis, or something like that. Can the,
I think it's supposed to be Kratos or something. I don't know.
Can the rebels rescue him? Oh my god. Okay, hold on.
Okay, the only interesting thing out of this entire episode for me is that they needed a dimensional gate to
get
from
one ahead, place sir. You're jumping to the,
I know, but I'm just saying.
Horde members, we have Hordak, Catra, Scorpia, Shadow Weaver, Horde Troopers, and Imp. Rebellion, we have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Madame Raz, Queen Angela, Cowl, and Broom. And then we have King Dupless, Prince Hazar, the Rebels, the Great Or Thugs, the Slaves, the Sea Captain, and the Slave Driver. If you haven't picked up on what's wrong with this episode yet, you should have. Okay, first off, a little bit about this plot. Prince Hazar, son of King Dupless of Irlandia, sent to the mines of Mondor. This writer had some type of fantasy that they were creating their own series here or something. Like, there is way too much going on. There's, I don't even know what the plot is. Like, this person we don't know about, who is the son of someone we don't know about, of this land that we've never heard of, is being sent to the mines of Mondor, a place we've never heard of. And for some reason, She-Ra and the Rebellion give a shit about this.
Apparently.
Oh, also, the mines are on a planet that we've never heard of.
Yep.
So it's mines on a planet with these people, none of which we've heard of. This is the most convoluted story we've seen so far in this series, I think.
Yep.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. It's...
This is us. I feel like the writer had 17 ideas and none of them had anything to, not a damn thing to do with She-Ra. And somehow they tried to like weave She-Ra and the Horde into this story. It's. Let's take a break and so I can get to the Fright Zone.
Should we start with those first and then go to Whispering Woods last?
We might have to on this one.
I swear I will no longer help the Horde. If you do this for me, I will always support the Great Rebellion.
We will try to bring your son back, but it will be difficult. We will need a lot of help and a lot of luck. I wish She-Ra were here.
I will find her.
For the honor of Grayskull!
The dimensional gate will open in 1 minute. Thank you for coming, She-Ra.
Thank you, Queen Angela. Without your magic, we could not make this journey.
Its other end is on the planet Krytus. But remember, you must return within 3 days, or the gate will close, leaving you in Krytus forever.
All right, last time today, visiting the Whispering Woods in the Fright Zone. But we find ourselves in the Fright Zone first today. All right. All right, so first off, let's get this business out of the way. 3 days is what they have in this other dimension. If they don't return within the 3 days, they're forever trapped there. Wait a second. Where have we seen this before? Oh, that's the exact same plot line that was used in He-Man. Exactly.
Yeah, wasn't that when they went through the time corridor to some other... Yeah, it was when Cringer and Orko had to go through the time corridor to...
They did it actually, I think they did it twice in He-Man.
Yeah, they did, but I'm saying, like, the one I remember is Cringer and Orko, and they only had, like, 30 minutes or something in the other thing. Yeah.
So, just completely ripped off of that. Not that you can't do some of the things that happened in He-Man, but it's so... It was almost the exact same lines. Like, you have...
I would have rather have had a crossover.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's get to the next one. She helps a beast who then later on helps them.
Yep.
Where have we seen that before?
That's standard 80s. It's like, I can't fault her for that, because that's reminding us of her powers.
Yeah,
I really can't.
Two elements that are all. It's not the fact that they're doing something like that. It's that they executed almost the exact same way of He-Man. Like, I realize that some stuff is going to be the exact same stock animation, this, that, and the other, but the plot and the lines should not also be stock lines or stock stories. This story is convoluted as fuck.
It is.
I have to swear. That's how convoluted it is. And I don't know. There was some other parts too. Like, it really skipped ahead a bit with them finding land when they were out there floating. It was like, help us find land. And then all of a sudden they're just on the beach.
But see, here's the thing. It barely showed. Like, it showed for 2 seconds, Madam and Broom flying.
So I didn't even know what was going on.
Well, they switched. Like, I think the way it showed on Hulu, there was a break in between them crashing and the ship getting destroyed and then them just being on a little raft. You see them on the little friggin' raft. You don't see Madam and Broom anywhere except for 2 seconds later when they're trying to fly. It's like Broom was out of gas or something. And then don't get me wrong, I love Madam Razzin Broom, but Broom basically says, "But you just said go lower." You would think that. I mean, come on.
I thought they were gonna make a joke. I thought he was gonna make a joke about Madam Razzin's weight.
See, I thought they were gonna do a thing where she's skipping. Playing skipping rocks with him because I mean he's essentially bouncing across the water.
Yeah. And then the other thing, apparently, She-Ra is rich because she can just buy a fucking boat. 100 pieces of gold. I have it in my brassiere. Here you go.
Since you brought it up, the more and more I watch this series, the more and more I see She-Ra's bodice, her chest piece and all that, the more and more I see it as a stripper costume than anything else. I'm serious, though. It's just, there are certain times and certain animation moves in this series, where, specifically sometimes when she's getting on or off Swiftwing, where it's like,
if you turn your head just the right way, hey, I can almost see up her skirt.
Oh my. What do you have for the Fright Zone, sir?
Fright Zone. Let me see. Where would the Fright Zone be? I just kind of went lame on my Fright Zone moments. I didn't really, because like I said, the first time I couldn't really pay attention to the damn thing because it was whatever the technical difficulty. Give it up, Bo. You suck as a singer. You're worse than William Hung. You'll love this. I don't even know what count we're up to now, but she didn't even say sword to whatever the hell. She just held it up and it fucking changed. Oh my god, this episode. Oh.
Yeah, how about some good things? Whispering Woods moments. What do you have?
Oh, really? I do like the exchanges between the Horde members in the beginning, everyone stealing Hordak's lines. I like that. And I do like Glimmer flashing her flashing power where she's like, close your eyes, and she blinds everybody. But other than that, this episode really this might be one of the worst episodes of the series.
Yeah, it's darn right up there. I think it is interesting to see that some other groups of people are actually almost voluntarily helping the Horde.
Yeah.
I thought that was somewhat interesting. And really the only good thing about this episode is finally some back to some fucking Horde members with Catra and Scorpia and some people like that.
I don't even know if I can count on one hand how many times I've seen Scorpia outside of Secret of the Sword. Like, maybe I can. Maybe it's like twice in the last 4 episodes of the podcast that we've done. 2 times out of 4 episodes, out of 4 podcast episodes, and we review usually 3 cartoons per. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But I mean, it's been a while. Like, I feel like it's been like 2 or 3, 4 or 5 episodes since we've seen some people outside of Shadow Weaver and Hordak. And so, like, I at least enjoyed Catra and Scorpia and how they were kind of interacting in similar scenes and stuff like that. So, that's the only thing I can say. Mm. So, all right, let's take a break and we'll be right back to see how many Horde Bat Mike is going to give out. How many Horde Bats Mike is going to give out for this episode?
Wait, what about you? I'm sure you got plenty too.
There's only one needed.
Thanks, She-Ra. You were doing fine without me.
Did
Did you find someone who will take us to the mines?
No, but now we own a ship.
You bought a ship?
I could never resist a sale.
All right, last chance to hand out some hardware for the episode today. First, Mike, protection swords. Anybody?
No.
Okay, how about some horde bats?
Well, you said before that there's only one that needs to be given out, really.
Yep, there's only one that's needed.
And I am going to give out the all-encompassing horde bat to Mr. Lou Scheimer for allowing this dumb fucking episode to be made.
I guess you're going even higher than me. The only one I feel like needs to be handed out is to Francis Moss, because I don't know what the bloody hell this person was thinking when they wrote this episode. It's like they had 17 ideas, they tried to combine it into one, and then they're like, oh, it's supposed to be a She-Ra episode, let's throw some She-Ra and Hordak and all that stuff in there, and it's just garbage. So for writing a piece of shit episode, Francis Moss, you get a horde bat.
Yeah.
All right, Crystal Castle, sir.
Zero.
I am real close to you. I'm going to give it a half. A half.
Well, okay. What is keeping you from making it a zero?
A half based solely on the fact that we got to see Catra and Scorpion. That's it. Half a point for showing me some Horde members, which I haven't seen in a few episodes. Bring them back. Let's see some more of them. Other than that, your story was garbage. Your episode was garbage. I should give you a zero, but I'm giving you a half. All right, one more quick break, and then we're going to be back with our final thoughts on today's episodes. We started high, and then we crashed down for the final two. So maybe Mike's wanting to abort ship for the rest of She-Ra. We'll see you after the break.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
All right, we are back here on Powers of Grayskull series, Myths of Etheria, episode 54. Final thoughts for me on these episodes for today. They started off great. They got good, and then it went so far down the shitter, not even Rhinox's gas from the low road could bring it back.
Thank you for that reference, sir.
My God, was that last episode unbearable.
The last two episodes were pretty unbearable. This is coming off the heels of probably, I'd say, I'm guessing four or five of the last six or seven episodes. I've given four and a half, five, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And then we started off the same way with another four for me on the first episode. And then we went to places we haven't been so far in She-Ra. I don't think I've given out a one or a half. I don't think I have yet. I haven't gone back and tallied them all and entered them into the database yet, but I don't think I've got that low in this series, and it was just garbage.
All right, let's just... Yeah, it was. let's just go over the last two podcasts just really quickly. Episode 51, we had Friendship, He Ain't Heavy, and Return of the Seahawk. Episode 52, we had Duel at Devlin, A Lost for Words, and Horde Prime Takes a Holiday. Both of us, to my knowledge, I forgot this episode 54. Episode 53, we had Enchanted Castle, Three Courageous Hearts, and The Stone and the Sword. Those nine cartoons, majority of them, we gave them all, as far as I can remember.
The worst we gave something, I think, was like a 2.5 or a 3.
Yeah.
So this was just unexpected garbage, and it needs to fix itself, because I've been excited this whole time, and seriously, how long are we going to have to wait until we get some... We got Cast a Spell last episode, or the episode before.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to be until we do anything with any of these other people?
I don't know.
Is it like season two characters I'm remembering? Like,
that I honestly don't know. I'm looking.
And there are so many Horde members we haven't seen. Like, get there and get there fast, because I'm getting tired of nobody. Like, they don't do anything with Glimmer. They don't with Catra and Scorpius so far, hardly.
So we're at episode 54 now, okay? And I'm going through, like I said, I was recapping the last three episodes that we've done.
Right.
And I'm going through and I'm kind of looking ahead in the schedule as to what's coming up for us in the coming season and whatever else. Episode 60 will have an episode entitled Glimmer Story. So maybe
finally,
by that time, we'll have something for Glimmer. Episode 65 is probably going to be one where I'm going to be not too nice, because there's an episode in there called Lukey Lends a Hand.
Oh, nice.
Episode 66.
Wait, you might like the one coming up in 2 weeks, which is Bo's Farewell.
Yeah, but then they have one in that episode called Play It Again, Bo, so he doesn't stay away too long. So let's see. Episode 66, we have the only two-parter of season one, which was Anchors Aloft. When we get to season two, we have stuff like A Lesson in Love, Something Old, Something New, Lukey's Sweetie, Oh God, Please Help Me. I was waiting for that third episode to be Something Borrowed, Something Blue. I you know, this is a problem with us. Not like He-Man, we kind of knew what we were getting into with Filmation He-Man, because we had seen a lot of those episodes over and over and over again. This, we, like we've already said, we have no idea what to expect. And this week, it started off good, and then just slow. I'm pretty sure the answer to this is yes, but you have seen the Kiefer Sutherland, Charlie Sheen, Disney Three Musketeers, right?
I have no idea.
1993, Oliver Platt, Chris
Maybe.
O'Donnell.
If Disney's I did, it left my memory just as fast as I saw it.
What? It had the song from Rod Stewart, Bryan Adams, and Sting called All for Love.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, there's a scene in that where the Musketeers have stolen the Cardinal's wagon, and it's basically just running down the hill. That's essentially what we've done in this one podcast. We started off at the top of a hill with Crystal Castle and just slowly went careening down the hill, crashing into something so god-awful that I think it's my first zero of this series.
Yeah. I mean, we did get two episodes that had Queen Angela on it, but seriously, like, I remember characters like Perfuma and Flutterina and Peekablu and Frosta and Mermista and all these other, and Trapta on the bad side, and Octavia, like all these chicks that, where are they?
Like, yeah.
Are they only in one episode in like the latter parts of the whole series? I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. I really don't.
That's my rant. But I'm still looking forward to more episodes for now, unless we get another episode full of this garbage.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. There's a 5-minute time limit. Follow us on Twitter, at Power of Grayskull is the show Twitter, at Geekcast Radio is the overall network Twitter. Mine is TFG1. Mike, what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is at Optimus Solo. And you know what? I bet you one of these episodes is Count Marzo's favorite episode of Sheep.
Oh boy, here we go. The Count Marzo wrath. Great. That's the last thing you need. All right. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myth today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next three episodes, those being Small Problems, Book Burning, oh great, and The Eldritch Mist. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
I just really hope The Eldritch Mist is not in the Mines of Mordor or whatever. I'm Optimus Solo.
Oh god, we'll be Skyrimming all over the universe. Oh crap. By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
She-Ra!